When you think about Catholicism in the United States, New York City's St. Patrick's Cathedral is top of mind as the nation's cathedral. It is the largest Roman Catholic church in the United States and the largest decorated Gothic-style Catholic cathedral in North America.
Hello, I'm Dolores Nolan, your virtual tour guide for Saints of New York.
St. Patrick's Cathedral rises majestically above Fifth Avenue between 50th and 51st Streets. It occupies the whole block, extending back to Madison Avenue. Its spires rise 330 feet above street level. St. Patrick's Cathedral is right across the street from Rockefeller Center. Over 5.5 million visitors from around the world flock to experience its magnificence each year. But St. Patrick's Cathedral is actually the seat of the Archbishop of New York. And right now, that's Archbishop Edward Egan. It's also a parish church serving the Midtown area of Manhattan. When St. Patrick's Cathedral was begun in 1858 by the beloved Archbishop Hughes, it sent a strong message that Catholics were a significant and growing segment of New York City's population and exerted a tremendous impact upon city politics and labor. It replaced the first St. Patrick's Cathedral down on Mott and Prince Streets, which still is a vital parish serving the Nolita neighborhood. This Fifth Avenue site, selected by Archbishop Hughes, was often referred to as Hughes Folly because it was way outside the city. Who would ever go there? But Hughes was a visionary. He knew the city was constantly growing and expanding north, and this wilderness would become an important and major area of New York. Hughes engaged the renowned American architect James Renwick, who designed the grand New York Public Library, to design the cathedral in the Gothic style. The cornerstone for this new St. Patrick's Cathedral on Fifth Avenue was laid on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15, 1858. It's built of white marble from quarries in New York and Massachusetts. It cost about $850,000. It's designed in the traditional form of a cross. It was funded by 103 citizens who pledged $1,000 each, and by the pennies of many immigrants, especially poor Irish immigrants. The Civil War put a hold on the construction until 1865, but the doors of the largest Gothic-style Catholic cathedral in the United States opened for worship on May 25, 1879. The main entrance is on Fifth Avenue. In the middle, there are two great bronze doors that weigh 27,000 pounds each. They were commissioned by Archbishop Spelman. Above the doors is a depiction in bronze of Christ and the 12 apostles. The doors themselves have 3D bronze images of six saints important to New York. Top row left is St. Joseph, patron saint of the Universal Church. Next to him is St. Patrick, patron saint of Ireland and of the cathedral. Middle row left is St. Isaac Jacques. He was a French missionary and the first priest to ever set foot on Manhattan Island. Next to him is St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, the patron saint of immigrants. Third row is Blessed Kateri Tekathwitha, a Native American who was more of an upstate New Yorker than a Manhattanite. But next to her is New York City born and bred Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first American-born saint, whose shrine in Manhattan is across from the Staten Island Ferry and Battery Park. When you enter the cathedral, no matter what your feelings about organized religion might be, I can't imagine you would not feel overwhelmed by its splendor. I've been singing in the choir here since 1990, and every time I set foot inside the cathedral, I can't help but always look up and marvel at the Gothic arches that reach up to the heavens. The cathedral seats about 2,400 people. Everything about it is a testament to the human spirit. It's a testament to the artistry of man, an expression of great devotion and pride of the New Yorkers who sacrificed to make it a reality. There is so much to see, so take your time as you stroll around. There's a relief of Mother Cabrini, patron saint of immigrants, special altars to many saints, including our first American-born saint, Mother Seton, an altar to St. Rose of Lima, the mystic. Servant of God Rose Hawthorne Lathrop founded a religious order in her honor. There are altars to St. Joseph, St. Anthony of Padua, St. John the Evangelist, who wrote the Book of Revelations, St. Louis, St. Michael, even an altar to Our Lady of Częstochowa. In the sanctuary, there's a huge statue of Ireland's patron, St. Patrick. As well there should be, since he's the patron saint of the cathedral. But there's also a statue and a special altar to a female Irish saint, St. Bridget. Now, St. Bridget happens to be one of my favorite saints. And on the saint scale, she's as big and as important as St. Patrick because she's the patroness of Ireland. She's the grand dame of Irish female saints. You might know her from the St. Bridget cross. It's a crucifix she would often make by braiding together rushes. It's a beautiful natural symbol. She was an abbess and foundress of many convents and a monastery in Kildare. St. Bridget was known to be very charitable, and many miracles of healing are attributed to her. She carried on the work of St. Patrick and converted many in her travels through Ireland. I think Bridget is a great name to give a girl because it means strength, but you spell it B-R-I-G-I-D. That's the Irish St. Bridget. There's so much more to see. Don't miss a thing, like the beautiful picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's a bust of John Paul II, who made multiple visits to New York City and the cathedral. I remember his recitation of the Rosary that was broadcast live from here on Vatican Radio. And John Paul II's cause for canonization is being propelled through the process, as well as the cause for canonization of Blessed Mother Teresa, who also was a frequent visitor. And don't miss the Pietà. It's three times larger than Michelangelo's at St. Peter's in Rome. The Stations of the Cross are works of art and won first prize at the Chicago World's Fair in 1893. The baldacchino, which is like a canopy, is over the main altar, and it's solid, glittering bronze. The stained glass windows were made by renowned artists in Chartres, France, Birmingham, England, and Boston, Massachusetts. Each one is glorious. The great rose window above the choir gallery was designed by one of the 20th century's stained glass design geniuses, Charles Connick. It's regarded as his finest work. The great organ in the choir gallery was built by the Kilgan Company and has almost 8,000 pipes. 19 bells made in Savoy, France were installed in 1897. Underneath the main altar is a crypt where all the archbishops of the Archdiocese of New York are laid to rest. Six of them were cardinals. Look up to see their honorary red hats hanging from the ceiling above the crypt. Interred with the archbishops are two others. One is the radio and television personality, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. He was Bishop of Rochester, but for some time he was an auxiliary bishop for the New York Archdiocese. Catholics and non-Catholics everywhere knew him as the host of the radio show The Catholic Hour and the TV show Life is Worth Living. Here's some Catholic glitterati trivia for you. The real name of the actor Martin Sheen, who played Captain Willard in the film Apocalypse Now, and President Josiah Bartlett in the TV show The West Wing, is Ramon Estevez. But he was so influenced by Archbishop Sheen's holiness and message that he adopted the name Sheen as his stage name. Now, the only lay person buried in the crypt with all these bishops is the slave Pierre Toussaint. And there is more to know here. In this one crypt in New York City rests three possible American saints, Pierre Toussaint, Archbishop Sheen, and Archbishop Cook. All three are being considered for sainthood. That's amazing. You can get a better view of the crypt from the Ladies' Chapel in the back. Our Ladies' Chapel is a beautiful and contemplative place. It was added after the cathedral opened and designed by American architect Charles Matthews. The tabernacle that houses the Blessed Sacrament is on the altar under the statue of Our Lady. Sometimes brides will forego the long aisle in the main part of the cathedral and opt for a more intimate wedding in the ladies' chapel. Formal tours of St. Patrick's Cathedral occur during the summer months. Visit stpatrickscathedral.org for the office phone number to call in advance for tour schedules. Take a little bit of St. Patrick's Cathedral home with you from the gift stores. There's a small one at the entrance of the cathedral, but I recommend you go to the Cathedral Gift Store on 51st Street across the street. It's larger and has many more items and books to choose from. And here's a very important fact about the cathedral. There are no public restrooms. If you need to freshen up, go across 51st Street to the Olympic Tower Atrium. It's just a couple doors down from the Cathedral Gift Store. It's a public space with decent restrooms. Relax and have a bite to eat at the Atrium Cafe. It's an adorable Greek cafe. And you'll be surrounded by replicas of the Elgin marbles that were from the Parthenon in Athens. And if you're lucky, there might be a great exhibit of Greek art and culture right downstairs at the Onassis Cultural Center, OFA. always check out the windows at Saks. They are always fabulous. And a visit to this part of town is not complete without a stroll through the Channel Gardens at Rock Center. There are signs all along 5th, Madison, and 6th Avenues to direct you to this heart of Midtown Manhattan. I hope you have enjoyed the story about St. Patrick's Cathedral on 5th Avenue and its significance. If you attend the Sunday 10:15 a.m. Mass from mid-September through mid-June, look up to the choir loft and wave hello. God willing, I'll be up there singing with the choir. The Diocese of New York was established in April 1808. At that time, it was comprised of the entire state of New York and the eastern part of New Jersey. It became an archdiocese in 1850. Today, the Archdiocese of New York is comprised of the boroughs of Manhattan, the Bronx, Staten Island, and the counties of Dutchess, Orange, Putnam, Rockland, and York. The Archdiocese will be celebrating its bicentennial now through April 2008. Visit the Archdiocese website, archny.org, that's archny.org, for the latest information and listing of bicentennial events.